Title of today's message is What is Good Success? Last week we talked about the three keys to prosperity and success from Joshua 1 and verse 8. Speak God's word on a regular basis, meditate in and on God's word, and practice God's word. Let's look again at Joshua 1 and verse 8 and find out what's going to happen in our lives when we do those three things. Reading from the New King James Version, Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Look at the last sentence. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. When you speak God's word on a regular basis, when you meditate in and on God's word, and when you practice God's word, you'll be prosperous and successful. It just doesn't get any more clear than that. The world is looking for prosperity and success with a vengeance. And God tells them exactly how to receive it in His word. Now, last week we talked about the definition of prosperity. This week we're going to talk about the definition of success. Again, the title of today's message is What is Good Success? Notice it says, and then you'll have good success. Well, if we can have good success, then there must be such a thing as having bad success, right? Doesn't that make sense? The Bible tells us about the success of the wicked in Job 12, Psalm 73, and Jeremiah 5. The Bible contains stories of people who started out successfully but ended up miserably, most notably the richest man who ever lived, Solomon. Read the book of Ecclesiastes sometime. You'll see what I'm talking about. Samson appeared successful in his defeat of the Philistines. The Bible in 1 Samuel tells us why Saul was successful despite all of his evil deeds. In the New Testament, we meet quote-unquote successful people like Herod, Ananias and Sapphira, and Alexandra, but we would hardly want to pattern our lives after any of those people. By linking success to evil or wicked people, we come up with the term bad success. So if there's good success and bad success, then a next logical question would be, is it even God's will for us to be successful in the first place? The answer is yes. And here are some scriptures that confirm it. Psalm 20, verse 4, reading from the New Living Translation. May He grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. How many of your plans? All your plans. God wants all your plans to succeed. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Depend on the Lord in whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Will they succeed? Yes, they will succeed when you depend on Him. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 9. The Lord your God will then make you successful in everything you do. Oh, I like that, don't you? How many things are going to be successful? What you do on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, is that what's going to be successful? No, no. It says everything. He will give you many children and numerous livestock, and He will cause your fields to produce abundant harvests. For the Lord will again delight in being good to you as He was to your ancestors. Here's the interesting thing about these three scriptures. They're all found in the Old Testament, which contain the Old Covenant. And now, because of Jesus Christ, we're living under a new covenant based on better promises. Hebrews 8 and verse 6 tells us. Hallelujah. So you can embellish it any way you want, but if He was going to make the people successful in everything under the old covenant, I just wonder how much more. How many are glad we serve a God of how much more? Jesus said it in the Gospels, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? Today I want to look at three keys to good success and three things that cause bad success from the life of King Uzziah. We pick up the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. How many have ever heard of King Uzziah? 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Reading verses 3, 4, and 5 from the New Living Translation. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. Boy, that should be something to notice. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother was Jecoliah from Jerusalem. Verse 4, he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. Verse 5, Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. As long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. The life of King Uzziah included three keys to good success, but unfortunately it also included three things that caused his success to go bad. Let's talk about the three keys to good success first. Number one, live a life pleasing to the Lord. If you want to have good success, number one key, live a life pleasing to the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 26, verse 4, we read, he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. King Uzziah pleased God during his early years as king. Now, for the most part, success in the world means power, influence, money, and prestige. But in the Christian world, for the believer, success means pleasing God. 1 John 3, verse 22 says, and we will receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey him and do the things that please him. That's how you receive from God. You place your faith in Christ, and you allow the Holy Spirit to motivate you to live a life that's pleasing to God. Every person who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ knows, they really know in their heart whether they're living a life pleasing to God or not. For the believer, listen, for the believer, walking in love inwardly and outwardly is how a Christian proves that they are living a life pleasing to God. You can mark down next to 1 John 3:22, 1 John 3 and verse 14. It says, when we walk in love, it proves that we're Christians. Number one, if you want to have good success, live a life pleasing to the Lord. Number two, learn to fear God. Learn to fear God. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 5. Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. Zechariah taught young Uzziah to fear God. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Uzziah heeded Zechariah's advice. The phrases fear God and the fear of the Lord are repeated in almost every single book of the Bible. Fear God and the fear of the Lord are repeated in almost every book of the Bible. So what's it mean to fear God? First, let's define the phrase the fear of the Lord. The word fear, when used in this phrase, the fear of the Lord, means this: reverence and respect for God, His Word, and His ways. Write those three things down. Respect and reverence for God, His Word, and His ways. The fear of the Lord is respect and reverence for God, His Word, and His ways. Fear here doesn't mean fear as being afraid of an axe murderer in a dark alley late at night. I want to make that distinction. I'm fearing God. If I make a mistake, he's going to whack me over the head and put me down. No, that's not what the fear of the Lord means. God is not the axe murderer in the horror films we watch on TV. How many like to watch those anyway? Don't raise your hand. You'll give yourself away. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I thought I'd add that in there for you. To fear God means to put his word and his ways first in your life. To fear God means to put his word and his ways first in your life. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What's that mean? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of an intimate relationship with God. Knowing God intimately requires that the fear of the Lord is firmly planted in our hearts. Proverbs 2:5 says that if you fear the Lord, if you respect and reverence God, you will come to know God and his love personally. In other words, you'll see the wisdom and understanding behind all he is doing in your life. Here's what that means. Your circumstances may not look good all the time, but the fear of the Lord will show you the wisdom and understanding of what God is doing in and through those circumstances in your life. Proverbs 29, verse 14, reading from the New International Version. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. He makes His covenant known to them. Revelation knowledge is reserved for those who fear God. That means that God will show you how to manifest the benefits of your salvation. This is confirmed in the last phrase in Psalm 25:14. He makes His covenant known to them. When we fear God, God makes His covenant known to us. What's the new covenant? It's a covenant of salvation with God through Jesus Christ. Well, what's that mean? What good is that? When I die, I go to heaven? Is that all that means, that He'll make His covenant known to me? No, He will show you how to manifest the benefits of your salvation in your life here on the earth. That's what the fear of the Lord will do for you. The person who fears God has accepted God's word as a source of truth for their life. The person who fears God willingly obeys God, even when it appears more advantageous to compromise or not obey His word. To fear God is to obey Him, even if it doesn't seem to be to our advantage. The fear of the Lord could be summed up as a love for God at the expense of everything else. That's good. The fear of the Lord could be summed up as the love for God at the expense of everything else. In light of the new covenant, the fear of God goes like this. When Jesus is your first love, you will give Him the place of honor He deserves in your heart and in your life. So if you want to have good success, number one, you live a life pleasing to God. Number two, if you want to have good success, you've got to learn to fear God. Now here's number three, seek guidance from the Lord. Seek guidance from the Lord. I put in parentheses Holy Spirit. I'll get to that in just a moment. Seek guidance from the Lord, or seek guidance from the Holy Spirit. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5 says, as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. When we diligently seek Jesus, we will remain attentive to His word under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Seek guidance from the Holy Spirit. That's how we could say this in New Covenant terminology. Seek guidance from the Holy Spirit. The hallmark characteristic of being successful in life is being able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. The hallmark characteristic of being successful in life is learning how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Here's why. When it says in the Bible that God will make you successful as a believer, it means that the Holy Spirit will manifest God's wisdom and ability to you. Wisdom to know what to do and ability to know how to do it. That's how you have good success as a believer. The Holy Spirit will manifest the wisdom and ability of God. How many think you'd be a little more successful if you knew what to do and then had the ability to do it? That would be pretty good, wouldn't it? That's the job of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. To manifest the wisdom and ability of heaven to you. Wisdom to know what to do. Ability to know how to do it and carry it out. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, reading from the New Living Translation. But those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The word power here means ability. If you look it up in a Bible dictionary, it even says, see, ability. It tells you to go to ability to find out the definition of power. Power here, it's the Greek word dunamis, where we get the English word dynamite. The word power here means ability. For those of us who are saved, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, manifests the wisdom and ability you need to be successful in life. Here's how we could sum up the three keys to good success. Good success is rooted in obedience to the will of God. The successful person obeys God unconditionally. And where do we find God's will? In His word. Therefore, the successful person obeys God's word unconditionally. I want you to notice the word obey in the following two scriptures. Deuteronomy 29, verse 9. You must carefully obey everything in this agreement so that you will succeed in everything you do. Joshua 1 verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave to you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. When will you be successful in everything that you do? When you obey the instructions contained in God's Master Success Book. How many thought it was just a religious book? No, the Holy Bible, this is God's Master Success Book, and it contains the principles for your success in life. To please God is to fear God is to believe God is to obey God. Pleasing God means unconditionally obeying His Word. Hearing the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit, coupled with practicing what you hear, are the keys to enjoying good success. Hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit and then practicing what you hear, that's the key to good success for the believer. Back to King Uzziah. King Uzziah was remarkably successful in planning and execution, in building and planting, in war and in peace. He was a successful warrior and city builder. He was skillful in organizing and delegating. His achievements brought him fame during his reign as king. Oh, how many have ever had dreams about being famous sometime during your life? Or am I the only one? Uzziah's achievements brought him fame during his reign as king. But let's see what happened to him. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Verses 14, 15, and 16, I'm going to read from the New Century Version. Uzziah gave his army shields, spears, helmets, armor, bows, and stones for their slings. In Jerusalem, Uzziah made cleverly designed devices. These devices on the towers and corners of the city walls were used to shoot arrows and large rocks. So Uzziah became famous in faraway places. Why? Because he had much help until he became powerful. Verse 16, but when Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his ruin. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar for incense. Uzziah was successful. He enjoyed good success, but then something happened to him. Here are the three things that caused Uzziah's success to go bad, so to speak. Number one, a lack of thankfulness. That's your next fill-in. A lack of thankfulness, both to God and to other people. A lack of thankfulness, both to God and to other people. We have no accounts of Uzziah ever showing appreciation to God for the marvelous wisdom and ability he received. Did you forget about wisdom and ability already? Wisdom is knowing what to do. Ability is knowing how to do it. Uzziah had God's wisdom and his ability. And in Christ, every believer already has all the wisdom and ability of heaven living within them in the person of the Holy Spirit. In other words, King Uzziah never gave God the credit for his success. You see 2 Chronicles 26 verse 15, the last sentence. So Uzziah became famous in faraway places because he had much help until he became powerful. Uzziah had much help until he became powerful and successful, but he never acknowledged the help of other people. He wasn't grateful for their place in his life. He never said thank you to those who helped him. Uzziah wasn't thankful to God or other people for his success, listen, and his ungratefulness led to an attitude of pride. First thing that'll cause success to go bad is a lack of thankfulness, both to God and to other people. Here's number two, an attitude of pride. An attitude of pride. Look at what it says in 2 Chronicles 26 verse 16. But when Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his ruin. His pride led to his ruin. Uzziah's pride was rooted in his lack of thankfulness. Conversely, humility and gratitude are both attitudes of the heart in the life of a truly successful person. Even though Uzziah had external power and success, the true condition of his heart would eventually be exposed due to his pride. Uzziah forgot the word of God that was given to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 17 and 18. Here's what it says. He, God, did all this so you would never say to yourself, in other words, God has blessed you beyond measure in abundance. I'm going to add a little New Covenant terminology to the scripture. God has blessed you in abundance so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Verse 18 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you the power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. See, God wants us to be successful so that when people ask us where our success came from, we can tell them that the Holy Spirit has manifested the wisdom and ability of heaven in my life, and that's why I'm successful. And then they'll say, well, what exactly does that mean? And you say, God has shown me what to do, and then he gave me the ability to know how to do it. And then you can ask them a third all-important question, would you like to get in on it? Amen. That's called evangelism. You thought it was standing on the street corner passing out brand new U-books. That's not bad either. Proverbs 16:18 says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now let's read what happened to Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16 to 18 from the Message Bible. Let's see what happened to this great king who was famous and successful. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16, 17, and 18. Reading from the Message. But then the strength and success went to his head. Arrogant and proud, he fell. One day, contemptuous of God, he walked into the temple of God like he owned it and took over, burning incense on the incense altar. The priest Azariah, backed up by 80 brave priests of God, tried to prevent him. They confronted Uzziah. You must not, you cannot do this, Uzziah. Only the Aaronite priests, especially consecrated for the work, are permitted to burn incense. Get out of God's temple. You are unfaithful and a disgrace. Here's the third thing that caused Uzziah's success to go bad. He looked down on people. He looked down on people. Uzziah's pride caused him to look down on others. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16 from the New Century Version says, he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Uzziah wasn't called to go into the temple and offer sacrifices. That was the job of the priests. Evidently, Uzziah thought he could do a better job than the person God called to do the job. In other words, he didn't acknowledge the role God had for others in his life. Uzziah's pride caused him to look down on other people. He thought he was better than everybody else because of his achievements. Sweeping statement now. Every successful person must acknowledge the role God has for others in their lives. Whether it's a spouse, a friend, a business associate, or a pastor. I originally had three things, but then I had to add that fourth thing. Amen. You can keep shouting. Let me say it again. Every successful person must acknowledge the role God has for others in their lives, whether it's a spouse. Did you know that God has a purpose for your husband or your wife? Every successful person must acknowledge the role God has for others in their lives, whether it's a spouse, a friend, a business associate, or a pastor. See, here's the thing. Every person matters. What was the third thing that caused Uzziah's success to go bad? He looked down on other people. He didn't value the people that God brought into his life. Say this, thank you, Father, for divine appointments and divine connections. Amen. God is bringing people into your life for two primary reasons. Number one, so you can be a blessing to them. And number two, so you can receive a blessing from them. Hallelujah. Here's how we could sum up the three things that cause quote-unquote bad success. Outwardly professing to know and serve God, but neglecting to live in obedience to the will of God. Many Christians desire comfort over obedience to God's will. Their lack of thankfulness leads to pride, which causes them to look down on people. This attitude may or may not be reflected outwardly. We don't know the motive of a person's heart. It's the condition of a person's heart that matters most to God, and God looks on the heart. God looks at a person's heart. Attitude and motives are two key ingredients to the condition of a person's heart. Let's sum up what we've learned today with a definition of good success. In the world, people look at an individual's material wealth, status, and social position to measure success. In contrast, God looks at the condition of a person's heart as the true measure of good success. In the world, people look at an individual's material wealth, status, and social position to measure success. In contrast, God looks at the condition of a person's heart as the true measure of good success. The difference can be summed up with two words, external and internal. Worldly success is external, whereas godly success is internal. 1 Samuel 16:7 says that people look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. People look at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. The difference between worldly, quote, bad success and godly, quote, good success is hidden in the inner resources of a person's heart. A heart that fears God will perceive God's heart and know His ways. And just like Israel in the days of Moses, the fire of God's glorious presence will ultimately expose the contents of every heart. Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 26, that this will be the church's condition upon entering the season of harvest. Those experiencing quote-unquote bad success, which will look like good success at the time the Lord comes, will be separated from the truly successful in the eyes of the Lord on that great day. Uzziah had the knowledge that produced successful results, but the condition of his heart wasn't right. And as a result, his life ended miserably. He gave place to the devil, contracted leprosy, and died alone. As a result of this quote-unquote bad success, the people only remembered him as the king who had leprosy. They didn't even remember any of the great things he had done. In conclusion, the two attitudes we want to be sure occupy our hearts are true humility and the fear of the Lord. These two attitudes will produce results that are both pleasing to God and results that will benefit us during our lives here on the earth. Let's prove that statement with a final scripture. Proverbs 22 and verse 4, true humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and long life. How many want to enjoy riches, honor, and a long life? Can I see your hands? Amen. True humility and the fear of the Lord will lead you to good success. Oh, let me say that again. True humility and the fear of the Lord will lead you to good success. Good success is being more concerned with what God thinks of you than what people think. Good success is being more concerned with God's desires than with temporary comfort. Good success esteems God's word as the source of truth for your life. Good success is experienced when we guard our hearts, knowing that God looks at the condition of our hearts as the true meaning of success. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've heard your word today. It's been a glorious word. It's been a wonderful word, and it's been a challenging word. And now our prayer, Lord, is that the Holy Spirit will seal the revelation of your word that we've heard into every heart. May it overflow into every mind, transforming every life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.